guys. So, I'm not going to read through all of this inside, but I want you to have it. So, as I mentioned last week? Yeah. Right, so the Rambam introduces his methodology of Agadat the study, and remember that he said
everyone that doesn't believe it.
Well, yeah, anyone who doesn't think that, right, who doesn't think like me is wrong, and you should understand it allegorically. But importantly, the Rambam said, one day I will write a Perush on Agadat so I can show you in practice what this looks like.
And
correct. Now, if you look at Rav Avraham ben Rambam, I do like the beginning of this. He writes, Da. He said most of these I got it to the understanding of the psukim and all the I got it to, how much has been written on it? Very little, right? And he says, Va'avi Morizal, my father, the Rambam, Chashav l'chaber sefer b'feirushav. He thought about writing a book on them. Kasher zachar b'tchilat Perush HaMishnah, as he wrote in the beginning of the Perush HaMishnah, that I'm going to do this. Ulubasof nata me'alav. In the end of his life, he turned away from it. He changed his mind. Vayira Moshe migeshet elav. Quoting the Pasuk, right? Punning on it, obviously. Right? That Moshe was afraid to approach it. Right? Right? Meaning Har Sinai. Right?
Because
his father is Moshe. Correct. Kasher amar b'tchilat ha-morev. Vani achar p'tirato p'irashti b'yan yazim ma'at kat. But I didn't. After my father passed away, I decided that I am going to write a Kira Iti to Alto Gdolav and Amanabat Chal Rishona. Said there, because I saw that it was really beneficial. Right, I'm going to write this for you. This is going to be a guide. And he tells you in no uncertain terms that this is following his father's project. This will prevent you from being a kofar or making fun of them. Right? Right, meaning, or to think that they're true and that everything they said, all these crazy things, were in fact just miracles that happened. Right? Right? And then I will make every chacham, right? Tzadik, wise, Shaina, Hefresh, Ben Grit, Yamsuf, Lemoshe, Liyotim, because otherwise, what are you going to think, right? That, you know, he said, right, if I don't explain this to you, then you think that every, you know, member of Chazal was Moshe Rabbeinu and Eliyahu Bar Carmel and is performing miracles left, right, and center, right? Right? You read the Gemara and like, right?
Which rabbi was the one who brought the other one back from the dead?
The Vizera.
Yeah, exactly, right? All these. Bidyuk. Okay. So, we're going to mostly do this outside because I really don't want to spend more than 1 week on it, because next week I'm not giving, because right, Brody is coming to give shir at this slot.
By Brody?
Yes. From Tikva, but he's also a tremendous Talmud Chacham. I'm going to be giving on some contemporary halacha stuff, and that'll be really...
The guy who started Tikva?
The Israel program, yeah. Not
the Rebbe?
No, not like Tikva. Tikva was started by, right, was started by Zalman Bernstein. Sent from Bernstein.
Oh, are they like different branches?
Many. Like, I did the year-long fellowship when I was in my year after undergraduate. Okay. But I do want to get you through the basics here. So, first point, and again, you can sort of see the headings, and we won't necessarily read it all inside. He said, first point is, Ein lamin b'davar rak b'glal omro. First rule you got to know is, don't believe everything simply because of who said it.
Don't believe everything you read.
Right. He says, "Da ki ata chayav la da kol shem yirtzel lahamid da yidua v'lisapenei omra kabel da to bli yun vavanal inyano to darim emet ata imlo shezem en ader haraod." If you just take everything based on who said it and you don't think about it, right, that is bad. Right, that min hadeod haraod. That is one of the bad qualities. V'ne'esar miderach ha'toravi da miderach ha'seichel. It's usher from the Torah and it's usher because it's against logic. Right, don't do that. Okay. And he says,
when does against logic make something awesome?
If you are the Rambam or his son, right? That is the greatest sin in the world.
I mean, he says, I didn't think like...
He says, look, it's not logical. It's against logic because it means that you're not going to analyze things. And it's against the Torah because you're going against truth, right?
I don't get the logic of like Tuma and Tahara. Does that mean it's also for me to like care about Tuma and Tahara?
There's a different. No, there's a different reason that it's anti-logical, and I don't understand it.
I'm saying it's only going against
the logic and understanding the logic and saying this doesn't make any sense.
So, according to the law, if going against truth is against the Torah, what makes something anti-logical versus I just don't understand it?
How do you know the difference, or does the Rambam just decide?
So this is actually what he's trying to do here, right? He's trying to give you tools to understand exactly what to do. Okay, this is what he's trying to do. Okay, and he quotes proofs to this, right? He takes the very famous statement of Chazal that Ha'eluhim ilu amra Yoshua ben Nun lo tzayitele. In a case where someone disagreed with something in the Gemara, he said even if Yoshua ben Nun would say it, I would disagree with him. Right, I wouldn't listen to him. Right, meaning there is this trend in Chazal of people who said it doesn't matter. Okay, and he says this is like all the medical things in Chazal which we just don't listen to. Okay.
I've heard that the whole thing about fish and meat is nice.
Yeah. Right, he says, right, example number one is all the medical stuff in Chazal that's just not true. Right, he said, it's just not. Right, look at the bottom, end of this section. Again, I'm just skipping around here. It says, Dvarim Shamarnu, Zemaru, Ikara Priyut, Kasher, Amitu, Abchina, Rufot, Arofre, Ratzoma, Shalom, Yochala, Damacher, Abraham. He said, sometimes it's just in line with doctors, but if it's not, and this is following the Gonim say the medical stuff in Chazal, just ignore. Right, Rav Shechter went farther. When I was in YU, someone asked him, there's two blot or so of medical stuff in Gittin, in the seventh parak, and someone said to Rav Shechter, can I make a siyum on a sechus Gittin without even reading those blot? And he said, of course. Nikudah, so of Sipur. Chazal were just wrong, right? There was certain medical knowledge in their time. They were writing down advice based on the medical knowledge in their time, but it's not right, so why would you read it?
I mean,
right, you can make a siyum on Gittin.
The Rambam wrote about medicine in his time. And
you could say the same thing about the Rambam. Yeah. Correct. Yeah. And you know what?
Yeah.
I also think that if the Rambam were alive nowadays, he would tell you to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay? I firmly believe that. Okay? Fine.
I wonder how many people try to do a statistical medical studies on this stuff.
Some people try doing this stuff. But anyways. Now, if you look at the next section... He said, this is not just about Chachamim, right, which he's about to say. He said, don't do this about philosophers either, right? There is this tendency, sometimes people are like, well, Chazal, I'll be cynical about, but oh, the great philosophers, they're always right. He said, no. When I say, listen to what people say and not who said it, I mean that across the board, right? So next section, Namin l'Aristo, Ragu Dvarav Shabo, Hamofeit. Said, you want to listen to Aristotle? Also, only listen to those things which are, Mofeit in medieval Hebrew was used to mean an ironclad philosophical proof. Right? Don't just listen to Aristotle because he's Aristotle. Listen to Aristotle if he's right.
Don't just listen to Galen because he's Galen and we assume he's right about everything.
Correct, Vidyuk.
And then everyone did that for the next 400 years anyway.
Correct, right. Correct, correct. He's an equal opportunity. Right, saying, V'chein en lan liton la'aristel v'lo marho v'adon chachmei apilosofim hu v'ekim v'oftim avitim amatziur aparei barach heyotze b'zeh midvarim amitim shabob mofeit bagud derech ha'emet chemat ha'emet b'munat kan mura olam. So don't just say, oh, Aristotle was a great philosopher and he said that the world existed forever. He said, no, he didn't prove it. He had his arguments. We have arguments against, right? And he says, in right in Chazal, you have this line, right? Sometimes they'll say, im halacha nikabel v'im ladun yesh tshuva. But sometimes, right, it'll say, if it's misora, I'll listen. But if it's not misora, right, I'm free to argue on it. If it's right, it's right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. So that's how you treat everybody. Okay, so he says at the top of the next page, v'chein heim osim b'mashal l'chra achad mishnafa. Chen shem ha'idin to'o b'emru b'teku. Or in Chazal, sometimes when they're not sure, they'll put it as teku. Right, there are things in life which are just not clear. So then, okay. Right, but his number one rule is, right, you don't listen to anybody based on their authority, you listen based on what they said. Okay? But now he says, you have to understand that the drasha are divided. There are different types of drasha, and here's his rule, okay? And I think this makes a lot of sense, okay? Yes, the Rambam says that you can understand Agadata not literally. However, we've all read Agadata, and we all know that there are different types of Agada. Not every Agada is metaphorical. Not every Agada is meant to be taken not literally. Some of it is meant to be taken literally, right? There are different types of Agadatot, right? The fact that some Agadah is not literal doesn't mean none of it is. You need to understand what is included in Agadah and how do you analyze each type. Yes?
Turn off topic, but use the word Agadah and Agadah both plurally. So what's the difference between those?
They're both fine, right?
They're the same thing?
Well, right? Yeah, I don't know. Agadah is like the generic, right? Agadah, but again, it's a little bit of Hebrew, Aramaic. You'll find versions in Bavli and Yerushalmi. How people use it. It's used. Yeah, I don't know. Used at different points. I don't know. Right? I don't know. I haven't really like.
Use whichever one whenever you.
Yeah, do whatever you want. Yeah.
I remember learning the story about like Rabban Gamliel, like when he gets kicked out of.
Yeah, look, there are certain things that are just stories. Like Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua get into a fight.
Yeah.
Right? Rabban Gamliel consistently humiliates Rabbi Yeshua. Right? And eventually people get so annoyed at him that they fire him. Right? Right. This is not a right, and I got it. That there's any reason
how
to take
exactly
it out literally.
How exactly someone from a hereditary position is also an interesting.
Well, he got fired. Right. It's clear. He got fired. Right. He got fired, and they hired somebody else, and his name was. Thank you.
Azar ben Azar.
Yeah. Right. We know that. Right. Harayani kiven shivir shana. We talk about it. The seder. Right. So the aura got it like that. There's no reason not to take it literally.
Didn't the top rabbis just like leave and just start ignoring Sanhedrin and protests?
Different story. A lot of different stories. Firings, protests, you know, all types of wonderful things.
Yeah.
But he says that the key to understanding...
Basically Donald Trump of his time.
Just keep in mind. Ties of people have done stuff that breaks basic succession rules is a lot. Succession rules are suggestions.
So he says, here are my five... He said, if I want to take Agadic literature, this is my division. Achelik HaRishon, the first type of drashot, he says, Achelik HaRishon, Mechalkei drashot HaChamisha, Him drashot al pi pshutan. Lo nitkavem mehem davar achar zulat hapshat, Verne b'nei ha-hogim. Said, certain Agadotot are meant to be taken at face value. They mean what they say what they mean. Right? He said, here's my example. And look at the gray here. Amr b'yochan mishum rishim ben yochai. Now the irony is that what he's about to say is argued on by poskim, right? Whether this is in fact meant as it sounds. But this is his example of things that are literal, which just proves that things that you think are literal, not everyone thinks are literal, which is Amr b'yochan mishum rishim ben yochai. Asur la'adam shimalei schok piv b'olum hazesh ne'emar hazim alei schok pinu. It is usher to fill your mouth with joy in this world. Period. Okay? That is the statement he thinks is literal.
That's actually very interesting.
Of all the ones that he could have picked, right? That statement, which is, first of all, taken by many people to be halachic, right? Certain people, it's not clear whether it means Ba'olam Hazeh as opposed to Olam Haba, or Olam Hazeh meaning in the time of Churban rather than the time of...
Yeah, also...
And what does it mean? L'malei Schok Piv? Right? Is it happy to fill with mirth, to be over giddy? Right? There's actually a lot of analysis in that. So, of all the ones he could have said, it says what it means what it says, that was not the one I would have picked.
Why not?
But, because it's really complicated.
Because some people don't take it... Some people say it's not literal at all, and some people say it's not exactly what it means something...
Which means that's not the one I would have picked, because... But methodologically, it should prove to you that whatever you think is obvious, not everyone will take as obvious. We should know that already.
I guess it's saying like a phrase, to interpret things like as a phrase.
Okay.
And like taking them as a metaphor out.
Now, he says...
Saying literal is more inclusive like a phrase.
Okay, so he says the first...
Even to say that it's a god, it's not halacha.
Yes, I know. There's a lot going on in that one line, but okay. Good. Okay. Achelik Hasheni.
Yay, that was part one.
Part one. Part two. Achelik Hasheni Adrashot Sheish Chitzon Upnimi. Our Agadato that have an outer and an inner level. Hakavaneh Yoda and Yana Pnimi, Velo and Yana Chitzon, Hapshati. And he said, now there are different ways you can have allegories. Right? One way of having an allegory is where the only thing that's meaningful here is the meaning of the metaphor, not the metaphor. right?
Like the metaphor that God is that God is only a tenth fucking above the land. Like
sure, the one he picks is the one we actually talked about last week, right? Which is the one at the end of time that we saw last week of God sitting in a circle in the end of days, and everyone pointing at God. Right? So he says, again, which is ironic because we saw Tosfos actually likes that one, but he says that one is, right? Okay, so one type of allegory are ones where it only is meaningful at the metaphorical level, and the metaphor itself, right, the chitzoni, the literal meaning, right, is bad. Right? I mean, don't believe the literal meaning. It's just a metaphor. And he says, said the literal meaning that you can point to God, anybody with any knowledge, with any emuna of God, will say, whoa, that is not literally true in any way, shape, or form, because that implies a physical God. Then, right? Not true. It's just metaphorical. What does it mean? He says, what it means is that the world to come, the reward of tzaddikim is that they will perceive God in a way they didn't in this world. And he said, and that brings great joy because it's the ultimate good. And therefore, it talks about a machal, which is not just a circle, but usually a dancing circle. Right, that will dance because it will be the greatest, truest joy that we will perceive God. Okay? But it only means it's metaphorical level, not its literal level. One second. Let me just finish this thought. And he says, why does the pasuk quote it, Zeh Eloheinu kivinu lo nagila v'nizkwa b'shuato, that we will rejoice in God's salvation? Why do we use salvation? Because this is like the greatest saving of the soul, right? That you fit, like the, you reach the ultimate purpose for which you were created. Okay? But his point is, type of agadah number two are things that are totally and completely, right, avoid literal meaning at all cost. Right? Only metaphor. That's only meaning. Yes, yes, yes.
What does Kabbalah have to say about, I'll say, God, like, physical blind versus not? I'm just curious.
It's complicated.
Thank you. Wow, you guys know me already. Look at that.
I don't know much about Kabbalah, sorry.
No, I just know about this topic because several people argued about it.
It's complicated. Kabbalah includes a lot of different things. Jewish mysticism in general is wider than Kabbalah. No, right? How you understand, blah, blah, blah. How you understand different tags. There are a million tags. Yes, exactly. How do you understand Shir Koma? Blah, blah, blah. Okay. Number three. Achelek ashlashi drashot shein laminim pini elakavan not omram derech pshutam bilvad elashido pshat drashot elu donu kashem ba'od al rubem enim achel yuvan. Said level three are things that mean what they say they mean. Right? How is this different than one? Things that mean what they say, but it's hard to parse them, right? Meaning, not everything is complicated to understand because it's metaphorical. Sometimes,
it's just a pain.
It's just hard to understand, right? Like sometimes someone is being very clear with you; they just have a very high vocabulary, right? You're not trying to understand what they're understanding because you're trying to get behind a metaphor. You just don't understand what they're saying. So he said, level three of Agadata are things that really mean what they say they mean, but not everything that says what it says.
Clear.
Right. He says, "V'im yuvan tiyek tchunot inyana chaseira, o shaloka ra'ui, v'mem yireh me'rov drashot achelik zafuch kavanat magosh inyanei v'shtafut milorayim." Sometimes it'll be so complicated you'll end up at the opposite, etc., etc. And therefore you got to be very careful with these. So he says his example is the following. You look at the gray. Rigzu v'al techatau. The Chazal darshan apostle, can they say, shake and do not sing, right? Tremble and do not sin. Im nitzchu mutav, if you've succeeded over the Yetzer Hara, great. Vim lav yikra kriyat shma, and if not, read shma. Shenemar al mishkavchem. It says on your beds, on your vim nitzchu mutav. And if that works to beat the Yetzer Hara, great. Vim lav yiskor yom mitan, if not, think about the day of death. Shenemar v'domu sela. So he says, look. He said, this does mean what it says it means. Right? It's just, yeah.
Where's that in Shema?
It's not. It's darshing the pasuk. Bigzuva techatau.
Oh. Right.
No,
where's that from?
No, al mishkavchem is in that pasuk of Rigzu al techatau, and it's a drasha on that. Right? Now he says this means exactly what it says it means, right? But it's complicated. I mean, this isn't metaphorical. But what does it mean? So he says, this is what it means. He says, level one is Omer ki lashon yargiz. Lamshil lashlet yetzer toru huadat. Yetzer hara utavar aguf chayotze ba. One is right. Agitate your yetzer hara, your yetzer tov over yetzer hara. Right, your seichel over your tava. Right, that's just what those mean. What this means is that you are capable of overpowering your physical desires. And if simply thinking the right thoughts helps you beat your yetzer hara, great. And if not, yosif al machshava v'yegeh b'cheko v'yosif b'sfatav psukim u'milon shenu v'azkiru achnatava. If you can't beat your yetzer hara by thought, then what's the next process? Actually articulate words, right? Like a mantra, right? Say psukim that get you in that mindset, right? That make you think about God. And that will prevent you from... And why Shema? So he says two reasons. He said there's the weak reason that they say Shema, which is this drasha on al mishkavchem, right? And you say Shema b'shachvecha of kumecha, right? But he said there's also a fundamental reason here, which is why would you say Shema?
It's our own mitzvot.
Thank you, right? Because Shema is about loving God, believing in God. I mean, Shema is the right psukim you want to say, right? And then he says, if none of this works, then what do you think about? The day of death, because, right, that's what, you know, right, death is a downer, right? And if you are overcome with you know, emotional taiva, whatever, then what you want to do is put, right, you want to put a damper on your spirit. That's what you want to do. Right, so he says, this chazal is fundamentally literal. It's just... That doesn't mean it's easy to understand. It's not like, right, it's not simple, but it's not metaphorical. It's saying something quite profound in its literal words. You just gotta, right, you gotta work it out. Four, achilek haravi'i, are things that are, she'omer oto b'feirush p'tukim al derech machmadei hashir. Lo m'vnei she'omrim ha'amin. Ki inyana pasuku inyana drashahu. B'chalila v'chas. He said, level four are things that nobody ever thought were literal. They were just nice. Right? They were just nice. They sounded beautiful. You're allowed to say beautiful things, right? And use psukim to talk about them, even if it doesn't mean that. Like, you're allowed to say nice things. Right? You're allowed to give shul drashot that sound good. You don't have to think they're true, but they're nice. They say beautiful things. They give nice ideas.
So they're
right?
Lies.
What? No! He said, no one ever thought they were true. He said, they're a drasha. It's a homiletic. It's beautiful. Right? Right? No one? Right? He said, certain things are just nice. Right? Right? Rav Yoel Ben Nun once said, right, that about Rav Amital. He said, look, there are things in life which are nice and things in life which are true. Rav Hirsch was nice but not true. What I say is true, but not nice. Rami Tal had the skill of saying things that were true and nice. Right? Right? It's a skill. Right? Sometimes the best way to inspire people is to say a nice drasha. Is it pshat? Is it not pshat? Who cares? Right? No one thinks it's pshat. Right?
Nice, but not true.
But yes, that's what he said. I'm not putting my name behind that. I'm just saying that I'm using this story. Right? And his example is aser to aser. Aser b'shvil shedir asher. When Chazal darshan the pasuk, give maaser so that you, right, aser to aser, which means you shall surely tithe. Chazal make a drush on it, which is give your tithe so that you will become rich. He says that's not what it means. That's not what it means. Right? No one thinks that's what it means. It means you shall surely tithe. But they're making a drasha. They're saying, you want to be wealthy, so give tzedakah. Is that what the pasuk means? is it like some magic formula? I don't know. Right? That's not what it is. He's saying, like, give tzedakah. Right? Is it a real drasha? No, it's not a real drasha. It's a homiletic. It's a shul drasha. Right? Like, you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to do things that are nice. He said, especially if these aren't mikare hadat, right? Not, these aren't like fundamental beliefs. And he said, people do this all the time, right? They say this in the psukim, right? Any shul drasha, right? Some people want to give a shir, and some people want to inspire you. So they come up with some hook in the pasuk, and then they talk about whatever they want to talk about, right? They'll get the same tartar every single week, and they'll just find some hook in the pasuk, right? Like, you know, people can do this, and he says, okay. And you know what? Beseder, right? Lo sofa olam. You're allowed to do such things. And then he says something quite interesting on page 5, and he says, Karov liyot kirova drashot himself with the hemizachelek. Most drashot in Chazal are this. Well, that's quite a radical claim. He says, most drashot, midrashim, agadato, that bother you, don't be bothered, because they're not true, they're not metaphorical, they're not complicated, they're just shul drashot. The rabbi is doing what any good shul rabbi does now, which is finding a hook in the pasuk to teach you a lesson and making it sound good by wrapping it up in psukim, because it really works. It's an effective way of giving drashot. Don't get too wrapped up on it. You're allowed to have things which are just nice. Papi, don't. What, yeah?
Would you say that any drush like this can't really
bring
a lot from
Avada? Well, so it's just nice.
Isn't that all Agadata?
He says it's Rove.
No, that's
a different story. I'm not going to do that now. Okay. And he says, example 5 are Achelik HaMishi, Drashot, Dibru Behem Lashon Havai. It's when they talk about things which are nonsense. Right? Right? The one before, things that are meaningful, are just not true in any way, shape, or form of the psukim, but like true in like the broader sense. Like they say important things, right? The last one is when Chazal just say things which are nonsense, right? They're just havai. And he says, for example, right, in Psachim you have this drasha that Amar Mazurcha me'etzel etzel uton arba me'agamle, right? They talk about things from here to here. They would, you know, be laden with 400 gamal darish etzel harishon who rosh apazuk rachon sof apazuk veishishavanim, right? He says you have these sometimes. That it's you know, whatever, they're just having fun or something. I don't know, right? They're
like, isn't there like Gemara about these like that they can eat like 100 different nuts?
Yeah, whatever, you know,
like 100 birds in one sitting or something like that.
Yeah, right. So he says like the fish are just like whatever. So they're, you know, they're also allowed to have fun. I don't know. What do you want from my life? Okay, that's his first division. Okay, then he says, in addition to that, I have to explain to you that these are like statements, right? But really, there's a meta division, right? Section 1 of Agadata are statements, right? What's the next level of Agadata? Stories, right? But he says within stories, there are different types of stories. Okay, my battery is dying here, but okay. Says, story one are halachic stories. Then yes, he calls that agadata, right? You can have stories which are halachic, right? You probably just did this at the beginning of Sukkah, right? Right? You don't think of this agadata, right? But Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, talking about the Chachamim going to the Sukkah, right? Did it? Right? There are stories that are halachic stories, right? That's category one. Category 2 of stories, he says, is things from which we learn, not law, but midot. Midot, right? Good midot, right? So example, the stories of Hillel and Shammai. Hillel didn't get angry so fast, Shammai got angry, right? All those, right? He said those are all ethical stories, right? They could have happened. Maybe they're embellished, I don't know. Right? But fundamentally, these are stories that happen. They're there to teach you a lesson, not halacha. They're there to teach you, you know, their heretz, midot, etc. Story 3 are stories that are there to teach you deep theological lessons, like the stories of Choni HaMe'agel.
Trust in God.
Or whatever, right?
And don't question the guy that God favors.
Sure. And then he says, and then category 4 are these are the miraculous ones, right? Where they talk about these amazing things that happened. And he says, he said, obviously, in some of these miracle stories, right, some of these miracle stories have other things wrapped up in them, right? They're miracle stories that have halacha, miracle stories that have philosophical lessons, like, I don't know, like Elu ve'elu, like, right, Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim, right?
Or the one Loba Shemayim.
Loba Shemayim. Correct, right? There's miracles, and that's what I meant, right? Right, Loba Shemayim, I mean, both of them, really, but that one, that the first one only is a bat kol, that one.
Pretty much the same.
Right, it's teaching you very important philosophical things, Loba Shemayim, but, right, there's mirror, right? So there's a bit of mix, right? So those are just descriptively the four types: halachic, ethical, philosophical, and miracle stories. Okay, that's just descriptive. And then he says, okay, now he gets a bit more complicated. He said there are stories in the Gemara which he thinks, and this is quite radical, and this is how he solves a lot of things, things that happened in dreams. Said some of the stories that sound radical in the Gemara, this is the bottom of page 6, are things that happened in dreams. So don't get too worked up on them. So for example, the story in the Gemara of Rabbi Shmuel, Kohen Gadol, saying that once I went up to bring the Ketoret, and I saw God. Right? And he said to me, bless me. And I gave God a bracha. Right? May your good, your merciful midot conquer your midot hadin. And God nodded to me. He said, don't get too worked up about that one. There are certain stories that are in dreams.
He says,
here's your solution. He said, all those Gemaras about Shadim, those are all dreams. Right? He said,
including the ones with the rabbis are like,
yes, between a dreams, wall and a tree. Dreams, he says dreams.
How is it a dream?
So that actually, Rabbi Yanovich, is a very long analysis of that Gemara, which is actually excellent. That it's metaphorical.
What about the whole thing that's given as like advice? And like,
he says, listen, don't believe these stories. They didn't happen. Don't believe things that are impossible. Right? And he said, if you do it because you are stupid. Right?
Why does she mean more impossible?
I'm just going to read it. He says, these you only believe that you are stupid and don't know anything about nature. Okay?
Again, what happened to those Gemaras which are given as like advice? Like, don't.
I'm just reading what he says.
How does that work?
Okay.
That was their. It's, you can read that like just like the medical advice. They thought it was true.
No, through
a modern lens, it's not.
He's not saying they thought it was true.
Why did they even bring it up? Because he said maybe they thought in their dream there was some lesson, right? Like their dream reflected something. They told you the story with all its embellishments and all whatever. Right? People can have meaningful dreams. They have meaningful dreams. They talk about it.
That's what I'm saying.
This wasn't a dream. This was given down as like a list of things you can avoid Shadim.
Those are the idiots that he's talking about.
And he says,
the rabbis in the Gemara.
Right, those are the idiots he's talking about.
Now, then he said, category 3. Okay, one second. He said, category 3 are stories that happened but are embellished. Right? His classic example is Rava killing Rabbi Zerah when being drunk on Purim. Right? He says, it happened. In some form, the version of the Gemara is embellished for use artistic license to make
effects.
It correct for comedic. Exactly, what he says, what does it mean? It means they got drunk and he hurt him really badly. He didn't kill him. He hurt him, right? And then
the story: don't drink on poem. I don't kill.
Right?
He said before this.
Right? He says so. Category 3 are things that really happen, but like, right. There are things that didn't happen to all their dreams. There are things that really happened. And there are things that they happen, but Chazal are entitled to their artistic license to make it more exciting, to get people into it, to use exaggeration, just like we all do in our stories. Right? Chazal had the same right.
But he killed them and then brought it back to the dead.
Then he gets into one which is more complicated. Right? And he says, Chelek HaRifi'i are stories that really happened.
Oh boy.
Yeah, this is a bit complicated. Masiyot Shiru Be'emet El Shidibru Otam B'Tavnit Mashel v'chida. Right? Like, they really did happen, but Chazal talk about them not clearly, right? They bury them in metaphor to make it, right? Because they didn't want you to understand exactly what happened. They wanted you to have to get through it to get to the deeper meaning. And therefore, right, like, there is a truth core somewhere there, but they've buried it in levels of in layers of metaphor. So his example is the Gemara in Sukkah that says, "Anitarti kushur davu kaimen kamei de Shlomo." There are these two kushim standing by Shlomo. V'amru le lacharuf achi b'nei sheishar sivri Shlomo chazan amal chamavit davu atziv. Right, at Pasach Shlomo v'amru ragloi devar inish in Arvin le adam v'nei mavulah. They get into this conversation, right, about the mal chamaves and etc. He said, "Shadam asenim namni agmur al chol balsei chol bina." He said the literal interpretation, no one will believe.
Why is it so unbelievable?
You keep saying this.
I'm just get people have praying a conversation it. About stuff
with the Malach HaMavet,
with the angel.
He says, "In Yanel, if any Rebbe now, you devour Irab Ben Met. Razonik Shnei Ilin, no Dalish Lo, you Olchem Bederek Alarz, Vini Choli Shekar Alem, On Yana Cher, Razonik No Tachbolot." He said, and he said, what probably happened was there were actual people who got sick, and they wanted to try to find a way to evade death. Right? Like everyone does, right? They get sick, they want to avoid death. People really want to do this. So they look for cures, and they look for this, and they look for that. Right? Chazal embellished that and say, there were these people who looked and tried to fight the Malach HaMavet. They don't mean that. They mean, there were people who were legitimately sick, right?
It's like, people talk to angels not
cats. Like pleading with the angel of death is something we've seen that.
Correct.
Even
and then
in modern times.
Correct. The story, right, and that.
Fighting death.
Think about it, right? You know, you read Harry Potter, right? You can't escape death, right? The story of the three brothers.
Yeah.
Right? You can't escape death, right? There's some core to the story. There are people who thought they could beat death through science, through medicine, whatever. And in the end, death will always reach them. So how do you tell
them? The third brother realized right now.
Exactly. Right? So you can tell stories like that maybe there's some core. And he says, now he says the key. He says, okay, once I've laid out all of this, you're all going to ask me the question, why? Right? Why do Chazal bury things under metaphor, right? Why do they do this, right? Say things metaphorically, bury real stories under metaphor. Like, just be clear, so we don't have to have this machloket. And he says, you know why? Because that's what Tanakh did, right? Tanakh is not literal, right? Tanakh has all these, right, mishalim and metaphors and imagery.
Chariot.
Maaseh Merkava, thank you. Right. Where they got their cue from the Torah itself. And he said, that's what the Rambam says. And he said, why do you do that? Right, why do you do this? Right, why do you do this? Yeah. To remember, this is what the Rambam already said. To hide the truth from people who can't handle it. To make people work to get towards the truth. Right, all these reasons. There are reasons why you don't write clearly, literally, etc. And he says that it is beneficial for you to do this. And then he says there are drashot murkavot, right? There are things which are complex, where right, there's more than one thing going on, right? Where part of the story actually happened in real life, and then part of it went into a dream, right? Or part of it was literal, and then it went into mashal, right? Sometimes stories are complicated, that they start at one plane and they end at another plane, right? And he thinks, like, the Maaseh Merkava stories go like this, right? That they start with rabbis having conversations about philosophy, and then suddenly there are, you know, fire bursting out of people's heads and birds falling dead from that fire flying over the Maaseh Merkava, right? He said there are stories like that where they really were talking about philosophy, and then once they get into the deep secret, suddenly the Agadah flips into metaphor mode, etc. And then you just have to analyze at each level. The summary of this, basically, is that Rambam and Rambam, his basic cup is the following. Just because it's legitimate to read Agadot not literally, doesn't mean they're all not literal. You have to remember, there's a lot in Agadot. There are things which are literal, there are things which are jokes, there are things which are just meant to be homiletics, right? I mean, everything is there, so don't take everything so seriously, right? Recognize the different levels. Now, if things are literal, fine. Right? If things are not literal, good. Sometimes they're metaphorical. Sometimes they're just complex. Sometimes they're meant to teach halacha. Sometimes ethics. Sometimes a little bit of this. Sometimes a little bit of that. Right? Philosophy, v'chule. For him, I think the key is really, how do you know whether something's literal? And again, Yosef's not going to like this, but this is what Rav Avraham and Rambam thinks. How do you know when something's literal?
If it
makes sense, it's either literal or it can be literal. If it doesn't make sense, then it's not literal, it's metaphorical, or maybe divrei havai. Right? That's basically his rule. Right, his rule of thumb. Now, admittedly, you can have middle categories where it could be that it's literal. There's nothing wrong with being literal. It could also be metaphorical. Yeah. So in that case, right? Okay. So if it turns out, so in those, whatever, no big deal. Right? There are certain stories. If they happen, great. If they didn't happen, they're metaphorical. Also great. Right? There are certain stories like that that could be like that. But his key is to, and this is what he adds to the Rambam, is this complexity. Right? Is, yes, you can read things not literally, but you have to be aware of all the different things that are happening in Agadata. Agadata is a broad category that includes a lot of things, some of which are literal, some of which are not, some of which is keeping ethics, some of which is keeping halacha, some of which is teaching philosophy, v'chule, v'chule, v'chule. What you need to do is use your seichel to figure out which ones are meant to be understood literally, which ones are not, and in each case to elicit the lessons that context provides, right? And that's really the goal. It's harder than it sounds,
yeah.
Right, obviously, but the key is to recognize that all those things, at least be aware of the different types of agadata that could exist that you're looking for, right? Because you can't group them all together. If you want more detail, obviously you should read through it yourself, but these are the basic contours of his argument.
How much should you stretch your mind versus how much, like, what makes sense to you? Like, I just, you know,